Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. This week we have a gentleman that I met last year during Swami Shuffle 200 and was just impressed with his tenacity and ability to stay out there and do neat things while being a little bit uncomfortable last year. And I found out that he's back for another edition to finish Swami Shuffle 200. And so I thought, let's get Mr. Ron Hartlob on the program. Ron, you ready to go for a little run?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
All right, we'll give it a shot. We'll do 5-minute miles. How's that sound?
Maybe 40 years ago.
That's good. If you did it 40 years ago, I've never done it, man.
Now.
So have I. I'm into the just move efficiently. Doesn't matter how fast, yeah. Doesn't matter how slow, just move efficiently. So Ron, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you when you're not out doing these wild, stupid distances? And what do you do? Family, all that good stuff.
Well, I'm 66 years old, been doing ultras for a little over 8 years now. Mostly timed races, but learning to do a little bit of everything. Second shot at Swami Shuffle. Worked full-time in the car business for 29 years. I'm what's called a customer experience coordinator at a Ford dealership in the Shenandoah Valley. Also a former sports writer, part-time for 18 years, a former sportscaster and radio DJ for a bunch of years in my early days. Done a whole lot of everything. Everything from a stripper. Well, I stripped furniture, but still I was a stripper.
That's awesome.
A chicken boxer.
Awesome.
I think I better explain that part.
No, I like just leaving it just stripper. So leave them thinking, Ron. Leave them thinking.
Well, I could do that with chicken boxer when I was young. I worked at a restaurant that had Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I put it in a box. So I was a chicken boxer. I mean, I've done a little bit of everything
that
in my life.
That is awesome. You've got the voice for sportscaster. You've got an amazing voice. So was that in the Shenandoah Valley also?
That was mostly in the Shenandoah Valley, a little bit up in the Culpeper area, but did a lot of high school sports, summer league baseball, a little bit of college sports. It was a lot of fun, but it beat up my voice pretty good. Just like Swami Shuff beat up my left foot pretty good last year. So
yeah, no kidding. I remember that. Yeah, your left foot was not doing well last year when I saw you. That was just outside. Was that right outside of Salvo where I bumped into you?
Yeah, it was somewhere down around that part.
Yep.
Those darn slanted roads that take the water off the road. Putting a whole lot of weight on the left foot, and that just didn't really go that well for me.
Yeah, you're going to have to walk backwards this year, I think.
Whatever works.
It would be entertaining at any rate.
So.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you know, the nice thing is you turn around and go the other way, and your left foot's still on the downhill slope. So.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make you feel better. It doesn't make it any better, but it's all we'll just pretend. So I will tell you this, that section from Salvo to Avon, there's lots of grass that's walkable off to the side of the shoulder, so you kind of get off that little slopey asphalt. So just a little tip for you. There you go. See? That was free too.
I never turned down tips.
There you go.
I got to pay for the next one.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll go on a little bit longer, and we'll see if you got to pay. But
yeah.
So, you didn't start running ultras until you were 58?
That's correct. I'm an ex-runner. I'm actually primarily a walker now because of back situations and heart situations. I used to be addicted to 5 and 10K races. I didn't have the patience to do the longer races because I hated to slow down. But it was grinding on my spine. And I kept my local chiropractor in business because I had to keep going back because it was just grinding. So I finally gave up running, started walking just to try to get back in shape. And a friend of mine, a guy named Bill Gentry here in the Shenandoah Valley, I asked him about these ultra marathons. I used to see him post about on Facebook. I said, do people ever walk these? He said, yeah, at some point everybody does. So, and I tried my first 24-hour race, Crooked Road, down in Rocky Mount, Virginia, and I fell in love with them ever since.
That's amazing. And you've done Crooked Road a ton of times, haven't you?
I did it six times, and then
Okay.
they did away with it. Now they're starting it back this year. Problem is, it's the week after Swami Shuffle.
Yeah,
I'm
that
going down there as a
probably.
volunteer this year.
I was going to say you might want to pass on that this year. I don't know what kind of shape you'd be in for a 24-hour after Swami.
No, I'll go volunteer and do what other people did for me for years and cheer them on and help them out.
That's awesome. So, how did you hear about Swami Shuffle 200?
My buddy John Price, I've known
Okay.
John for quite some time too, run across him at a couple different races. I saw him talking about that race, and I've always been intrigued by road races. I've had many other friends that have done things like Vol State and races like that. And Vol State, 314 miles when I've never done over 120 just seemed too imposing at the time. But then I heard about this one, 200 miles plus, and knowing
Well,
that it's
couple
in the cooler
plus.
months instead of the hotter months, and I handle the cool better than I do the heat, I just said, if I'm going to try one, this is the perfect one to try. And obviously, being for a good cause, helping to prevent veteran suicides and stuff like that, made it even more appealing as well. So I gave it a shot. Fell in love with it last year, even though it didn't turn out like I wanted it to turn out. So that's given me 12 months to try to get better for this year's race.
There you go. That is awesome. So, what are some of the things that you've been doing to prepare for this year's race?
Well, the main thing I've been working on, because I had two problems that knocked me out last year. One of them was the left foot. I could have continued on with the left foot for a while, but I was still over 100 miles from the finish line. I don't know if the left foot would have held up that long. I could handle the pain, but I've developed on the third day a nasty forward lean, something I never had before. And I mean, that just sapped everything out of me to where
Yep.
I couldn't go 100 steps without having to stop. And when
Wow.
you've got over 100 miles to go, 100 steps at a time without
That's
having to
a
stop,
lot of that's a
that
lot
just
of
wouldn't.
stopping, man.
Yeah. So that's what knocked me out of the race, because I knew there was just no way I could continue that. It was sheer misery. The foot was a major inconvenience, but the forward lean was misery. And I've just been working on things to try to keep that forward lean from ever coming back again. One of the
Okay.
things I read up on was working on your core muscles. So I'm going to the local gym and doing a lot of core exercises, working on my form. I think I had bad weight distribution of my packs last year, which was pulling my body forward, working to make sure that that doesn't happen again. All the things that could have caused it, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not doing it for this year's race.
Awesome.
So.
That's great. The core, that's one of the keys. Lots of people forget about that, what we do with these long distances, you think legs, you think, moving, but few people actually think about core and few people think about shoulders. And the reason I bring shoulders up is, we've got these packs on and you got to have a little bit of strength in your shoulders to keep that pack in the right place. So,
Yeah,
core
and
strength,
I've been
shoulder
working on
strength.
the weightlifting too, so.
Awesome. Good. Good. Sounds like you're a lot better prepared. So what is going to be, you went screwed last year, right? You didn't have a crew.
No, actually, I had probably the biggest crew in the race.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that. Who was your crew last year?
Yeah, four of them were just there for emotional support.
Okay.
That would have been Yukon, Ariel, Pucci, and Samson.
Okay.
My four
Those were your
dogs. They
dogs.
were
Yeah,
traveling
I
with
was
my
gonna say,
wife.
oh, that's right. Now I remember your wife is the sweetest person in the world. Okay, now I totally got it nailed who your crew was. Okay.
Yeah, four of them didn't do much help except for letting me give them hugs and being happy when they saw me. But
That's always good.
other than that, they weren't of much use. But my wife worked very hard, and she wants to do even more this year, which I can't turn down. So.
My God, that is awesome. So what is your strategy going to be as far as do you have like a target mileage you want to hit every day?
Yes and no, because as well as I do, in these races, you can't predict what's going to be happening.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, if a thunderstorm occurs on the first day, your mileage is going to be down because you got to get out of the way.
Yep.
Or if you step in a pothole and your ankle's sore one day, you can't do the miles. But Ideally, you know, the first 2 days went exactly as planned. I did 50 some miles the first day, 40 some the second day. I was well on the pace to do it until things fell apart on the third day. And I'm hoping to do the same thing, maybe even a little more miles. Plus, I want to get a little more sleep than I did last year.
Now,
so
were
I'm
you
going to
just
try to do
sleeping
a little stronger
in
pace
the
and rest
car?
more.
Did you sleep in the car, or did
I
you guys
slept
get
in the
hotels?
Car a little bit. We had rented a house in Kill Devil Hills last year, and I spent the first night there, and then second night they had a house further down the shore in what was it, Salvo?
Salvo,
I took
yeah.
advantage of that, and then the third day is when I ended up having to drop out when I got that forward lean. But we're doing something similar this year. I might get a hotel room first night around Kill Devil Hills because I should be able to easily reach that in the first day, barring any weather disasters or something. Second night, my wife is going to be staying with our dogs down at the KOA campground. So I should be able to get there the second night, turn around, get there the third night. Now, I'll be carrying a bivy sack just in case I need to pull off and take naps at other times. And my wife will be by occasionally in case I need to take a nap in the car. Obviously, we can't move, but
right.
So
it is nice to get out of the wind,
that,
though, so that's good.
Yeah, the bridge beat my backside last year. That 2.5 mile bridge going into Pea Island, and the wind was right in your face. I ended
that's
up
always
taking
a joy.
A nap in the car for the first time of the race. But after that,
and then. What did you think of Jug Handle, where you swing way away from where you want to go out into the sound and then you curve back in?
Yeah. This course has so many interesting twists and turns. That's a great thing about it. Plus, it's got the monotonous 20 miles of nothingness. I mean, that's what makes it so appealing to this race. I've driven it a couple times now, and obviously I've walked the whole thing. You've got an idea, but you always forget.
Right. Yeah.
What's coming up. So that's what makes it beautiful.
I love Swami Shuffle. One, because I love the challenge of it. And two, the cause. Like doing races where it's not about the bling and swag and all that kind of stuff, but there's a reason for doing it. And, you know, Swami Shuffle fits that bill. So now, do you have any like veterans within your sphere of influence, or I'm just curious because most people do this and they know military people.
Yeah, I certainly have. My father, who just passed away at 94 years old last year, he spent a long time in the Air Force. My late stepfather was a Korean War veteran and was retired from the Army. I've had other family members and close friends that have spent time in the military, some spending time in combat. And I'm talking to them, you know what our soldiers have gone through. And I worked one summer back in high school as a civilian dishwasher at Quantico Marine Base.
Oh, wow.
Officer training. So I got to watch these guys get yelled at, which made me realize I better go to college. I'm not quite tough enough for that.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, I've had enough things happen in my life that I really appreciate what the military does, and anything I can do to help, we'll certainly be more than happy to do it, because I can't imagine what these guys and gals have gone through. And I appreciate them so much, and I want to be able to give back, and being able to have a great challenge and an adventure at the same time you're helping out makes it even better.
Exactly. That's awesome. So now I was looking at some of the races you've done. You've done Virginia Run for Cancer a bunch of times too, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done that a few times. That's one of those 3.75-mile loop is probably the longest loop I've ever done. It's a different race, but it's fun. The camaraderie is good.
Yeah.
But I've been spoiled by the ones that have the real big aid stations that Run for Cancer, though. Last year was certainly better. But no, it's a good race. There's no doubt about it. It's a good course. Two out of the three times I've been there, it's rained, so it gets muddy. Mud and I don't get along real well.
Yep. Yeah.
Rain doesn't bother me. Mud does not go well with me.
Exactly. The Virginia Run for Cancer, you can almost count on there being rain. I think the only year I've done it where there wasn't rain was the COVID year where we had to do it in November.
Well, the race that I did that rain probably affected the most, there's one in South Carolina called on the Hellhole, at the Hellhole Swamp. You ever heard of that? They've got one called it's in February. They've got a spring, they've got a winter version and a summer version, but this was H3 frozen.
Okay.
And as I was driving down there the day before, it absolutely deluged rain.
Oh, wow.
So I got down to the swamp the next day. It was a 50K race, the one that I was doing, though it was more than 50K. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On about a 14-mile loop. No, about a 16-mile loop. And of that 16 miles, about 4 or 5 miles were completely underwater with swamp water in February, just about up to your knees from due to the flooding.
You are kidding. That's crazy.
Oh, no. But I was proud of the fact that I went out and did the second lap. I just missed the time cutoff. But that's one of those races you look back and you have fond memories. But when you're doing it, the memories didn't seem too fond.
Well, I know that feeling very well. I've done a couple races like that. Those are the best. So the other one that I noticed that shows up a lot is this one called Red Barn Challenge. Where is that?
That's just outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's a relatively new race, 24-hour, great organization. It's on a farm, so it's mostly on grass. And it's another one of those that seems to rain almost every year I go up there, which turns it into a mud bath.
That's
but,
funny.
We do great, great race, great support. It's the only 24-hour race I've ever done that starts in the evening on a Friday evening and ends on a Saturday evening.
Well, that's interesting.
So it sort of messes with your mindset as far as the hours, because you're so used to the ones that start in the morning and then you go 12, 14 hours till you start thinking about sleep. Well, sometimes on this one, you're going 5 or 6 hours and you're thinking about sleep already.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a fun race, well supported, great aid station, nice course when it's dry, and challenging course to say the least when it gets wet.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. And is it a mile around, or?
It's a mile loop on a farm.
Okay.
And about 95% of the trail they've got set up is grass. So a couple years I did it in the remnants of a hurricane 1 year. And then the second year it started raining about a half hour before the race and pretty much didn't stop the entire 24 hours.
Oh my gosh. So you're just wet and muddy and cold the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh,
after I fell a few times,
that's
one of the ones I bailed out early, but I stayed on to cheer everybody on. So
there you go. That is awesome.
To continue, because that was right before my first effort at Swami Shuffle, and I did not want to get injured.
Right.
And then I had Swami Shuffle a few months later. So.
Yep. Now, I think that's one Lisa Georges does.
Oh, yeah. Lisa and I have been good friends for a lot of years. She's the one that told me about that race. I'm the one that told her about Swami Shuffle.
Okay.
So we get each other into different races. Lisa came down, did the Run for Cancer one time. I'm the one that told her about that. Lisa's become a very good friend. She's an inspiration. The first year of Red Barn, she broke her leg, I think about a week before Red Barn. So she didn't get to participate in it the first year, but like I did, but she's been in it every year since then. And like she did at Swami Shuffle, she's had a lot of very strong finishes.
Yeah, she's amazing. You know, met her for the first time last year at Swami Shuffle, and then I ran with her at 6 Days in the Dome, and she's so good. And Noah is probably the best crew chief in the whole world.
He is definitely awesome.
So now let's jump back into Swami here for just a second. So what do you do for hydration, nutrition?
I carry a little bit of stuff with me, and my wife as a crew, she'll be bringing me stuff as I need it.
Okay.
Last year on day two, I asked her for a big juicy hamburger as we were out on Pea Island. She couldn't find anybody down that side that was still open at that time of the evening.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges.
But she'll be carrying stuff along. I didn't really stop to eat last year when I was doing it. I would just grab something and run, but I might have to slow down a little bit and eat a little bit better. And she's going to be the person that I need to nag me and, Ron, you need to eat more. Ron, you need to eat more.
Exactly. Yeah.
For me,
So.
with a race like this, it's basically wing it because I don't know when I'm going to be hungry. I can't say for sure where I'm going to be at what time.
Yep.
I'm just not an experienced enough road racer. So I've learned to wing it at places that races that don't have aid stations. And fortunately, I'll have some help if I see something going down
exactly.
that, hey, this would be a good place to get something going back. And of course, she can drive off the course and bring me food, which is nice too. But
yeah.
Same respect, if I can find somewhere where I can get off my feet, that's probably not a bad idea as well.
Exactly.
Well, as long as you don't have any of those famous ultra marathon hallucinations during your race, you should be good.
Those are the best, though, man. The hallucinations are what makes it fun.
Well, the closest I had to that was doing ARFTA, Race for the Ages down in Tennessee. I actually caught myself two different times falling asleep while I was walking laps.
Yeah. So, Ron, what's your goal for this year's Swami Shuffle?
Well, the realistic goal is to finish sometime during the day on Friday. Of course, we've got the challenge with Back Bay to make sure that we run out on a certain part of the beach at a certain time. And right now, I'm not sure. I've never done more than 120 miles in a race. So once I get past 120, this is all going to be new stuff to me. But realistically, I think I can finish it on the fifth day before the sun goes down. That's the challenge. I mean, if absolutely everything goes well, and you know as well as I do how often that happens, I might be able to finish sometime on Thursday or early Friday morning after the sun comes up. But realistically, if I finish on Friday and I'm not scrambling the last couple hours to try to get to the finish line, I'll be very much thrilled. But as long as I even finish it, even if it's not till Saturday morning, I'm going to be happy because, after coming up short and the heartbreak of that last year, I'm just very determined to see what this old man can do.
Awesome.
And
I can't wait to see what you do too. I'm excited to see you finish this thing, and I'll be out there for your finish.
Well, I appreciate that.
You got it.
It always helps when you feel like you're doing it for other people. And of course, we've got the idea of we're doing it for the veterans and everything they're going through. But when you've got other people that you feel like you're doing it for, and you feel like you're going to disappoint them if you don't finish, sometimes that's a great motivating factor for me. I remember one race, Crooked Road, that I've done six times, had this group at the start-finish line that would cheer for you every time that you'd cross the start-finish line. It was a little over a mile loop. I didn't want to go to sleep, even though I was very sleepy, because I thought they would miss me. So I kept
Exactly.
doing lap after lap. So other people and having a cheering section is a great motivating factor on these long races.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to you coming back out, slaughtering this thing, coming across that finish line, and I'll be there cheering loudly for you.
And something, if I can expand on it, that you mentioned how ultramarathon becomes a family. And I've tried to tell people this, and once somebody has done an ultramarathon for the first time, they begin to understand. But I remember back in 1994, I did the Marine Corps Marathon as a runner. Thousands and thousands of people made zero friends. Zero.
Yep.
I can't tell you, I can only tell you the name of one other person that did that race, and she beat me. It was Oprah Winfrey. But I never saw her the whole race. She started way in front of me, and I never caught up. But I made zero friends out of tens of thousands of people. I go to an ultra with 20 or 30 people, and I come back with a whole new list of friends. It's just, such, like you said, it's such a community. It's such bonding. And that's whether you're the person fighting for first or me fighting just to finish.
Yep.
It's you know, everybody's pulling for everybody there. It's an amazing atmosphere. It really is. Every race I've done.
Yeah, that's what I love about the ultra community is it doesn't matter if you're the fastest or the slowest, everybody is cheering for you to cross that finish line.
You're right on about that. And until you've tried one of these races, you'll never appreciate how close-knit a society it is.
Yeah.
The bottom feeders like me, they'll cheer you on. The elite athletes, they'll take time to get to know you too. And it's really incredible.
It really is. All right, so this is the way we like to end all these chats on the Living an Ultralife podcast. The name of it obviously is Living an Ultralife. When you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
First thing that pops into my head is my life change. Because back in the 2015 or so, I was struggling with my weight. I was struggling with my enthusiasm toward working out. I was in my 50s. I had arthritis in both thumbs. I couldn't do a lot of the things I used to be able to do. I couldn't run because it was bothering my back, and it was kind of depressing. So I was trying to pick myself up by walking, but I really didn't have any incentive to really push myself until I found out about ultra marathons. And now, since then, I was outside this morning in 20 degree temperature doing 6 miles before work, which I never would have been doing 10 years ago. I would have waited for a nicer day. And I'm doing that because ultra marathons and the idea of being trying to be in shape for my next one has just changed my life. That's what I think of.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, Ron, I'm so looking forward to seeing you again. And like I said, I cannot wait to cheer you across that line.
Yeah, and the dogs are looking forward to meeting you too. All
Absolutely.
four of mine.
I got to pet him last year. That was one of the highlights was being greeted by all four of your dogs. It's 'cause they are
Hey,
definitely enthusiastic breeders.
they keep me going a little bit too. So,
There
and
you go.
they were good at consoling me after I had to drop out of last year. And hopefully, they're going to have to wait to spend time with me until after I cross the finish line instead of somewhere in between.
That is awesome. And I look forward, and please tell your wife that she is one of the most delightful people I've ever met. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again this year also.
We'll definitely make sure that you get a chance to see her and the dogs before the race.
You
Looking
got
forward to it. Can't wait.
it. We'll see you in about a month, Ron.
That's good, Mike. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.